liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that brand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I have a special guest today, Mike Sparks. He has an extensive background in military, having served in the Army and in the Marine Corps. He's advised the Department of Defense on the types of military equipment they need for different operations, including emphasizing that in relation to Iraq, they needed to use tracked vehicles or they'd wind up with a lot of military losing their limbs, their arms and legs from improvised military explosive devices, but it appeared a general wanted the military, our Army, our Marines, to lose arms and legs because he was committed to the development of robotics. I mean, this is about as disgusting as it gets. Here, Mike Sparks was giving a straight scoop about using tracked vehicles rather than those with tires in a situation where it was going to make a huge difference to the welfare of our military. This is a cause for being completely outraged. And I'm very pleased to have him here. Now, I'm going to bring in Mike early because he has comments to make about what's just happened in Waukesha, where this amateur rapper, 39, who was bailed out of jail 2 days before killing five and injuring 40 by running a truck, actually as an SUV, into a crowd during a Christmas parade in Waukesha. Among those killed were members of the Milwaukee Dancing Grannies who perform at the parade. Another 40 were injured, including 12 children. Several remain in the hospital. His criminal history dates back to 1999, includes felonies, misdemeanors in various states. But the key to this, in my opinion, is that the mainstream media is responsible for this. I am certain he did this in revenge for the Kyle Rittenhouse acquittal, no doubt in the belief, the false belief, that Kyle had shot three black guys, killing two, that he was a white supremacist, and that this was simply another case of miscarriage of justice by a court system that has no respect for black people and allows them to be killed willy-nilly, virtually at whim. This is completely disgusting. But we get confirmation even from the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee badly botching a statement. They claimed it's disgusting and disturbing that someone was able to carry a loaded assault rifle into a protest against the unjust killing of Jacob Blake, an unarmed black man, and take the lives of two people in under another and face absolutely no consequences, read the statement from Representative Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat of New York, of course, who's a DCCC chairman. Now, think of how many false statements are there. He didn't, it wasn't an assault rifle. It was an AR-15 civilian version, which only fires semi-automatic. There is a military version that fires full automatic that would be qualified as an assault rifle. He talks about the unjust killing of Jacob Blake, but Jacob Blake wasn't killed. He was paralyzed, but he's still alive. Also, it was justified and not unjustified. Blake was a felon who had multiple warrants, who was kidnapping his own kids in a vehicle and was armed with a knife. So they say he was an unarmed black man taking the lives of two people and injuring another. And they want to hint, they want to imply that they were also black and faced no consequences. How can being tried, you know, with six different charges, five felonies, be having no consequences? Then he goes on to say, and this is coming from the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee, it is clear that our legal system has one set of rules for some Americans and a very different standard for others. People are right to be outraged, and they are right to be outraged at the violence that disproportionately hurts people of color and the legal system that fails to hold the violence accountable. Notice the subtle implication that once again, those that Kyle shot were black. His statement fell short of numerous easily verifiable facts. Many on social media rushed to condemn it. Here's one, columnist Rob George. FFS DCCC, get the underlying facts right. Jacob Blake was shot and wounded in his car. He is still alive, albeit paralyzed. Another from reporter Dave Weigel. The DCCC chairman's statement today says that Jacob Blake was one unarmed and two killed, neither of which is true. This is sensitive stuff, and folks are stomping around like drunk elephants. Here's another, more. The DCCC continues their streak of being the most incompetent organization in Washington, mocked the National Republican Congressional Committee in response. Others pointed out the dubious classification of an AR-15 as an assault rifle. The DCCC later released a corrected version of their statement that edited out unjust killing and also deleted the unarmed portion. But then we have these nitwits like Gerald Nadler, who's actually the head of the House Judiciary Committee, claiming that Kyle Rittenhouse's acquittal is a miscarriage of justice and sets a dangerous precedent, and the case justifies federal review by the Department of Justice because he crossed state lines, said Democrat representative and House Judiciary Chair Jerry Nadler. But he didn't. He crossed a state line, but he wasn't carrying the weapon when he did. It was already in Kenosha. His father lived in Kenosha. He worked as a lifeguard in Kenosha. How can it be a miscarriage of justice when we have a jury of 12 finding him not guilty unanimously when they applied all the principles, and there are five of them, of self-defense that must be satisfied for that defense to be acceptable under the law? Where the court in this case ran a very impressive trial laden with integrity in spite of the prosecution abusing its responsibility in multiple ways. The sixth of the charges was for unlawful possession of a rifle, but that would only be the case if it were a short-barreled rifle, which his was not, so that was improper. The judge dismissed it, so that charge was removed even before matters went before the jury. The prosecution also violated his Miranda rights by questioning him under oath why he had remained silent after the event until now, which a judge had noticed before the trial was off limits, that he couldn't do it, but he went ahead and did it anyway to try to imply that Kyle had something to hide. He also suborned perjury by having the owners of the car lot testify they'd never actually even heard or had contact with Kyle Rittenhouse, when it was known before the fact that they had had contact, that Kyle had been solicited to help to defend the car dealership. And in addition, he withheld a high-quality version of the drone footage, which only came out inadvertently when the co-prosecutor admitted that our version is clearer, which they did not provide to the defense. I mean, this is just completely egregious, insulting, and outrageous. The prosecution, in any case, has a higher obligation than the defense because they're obligated to ensure justice is done by representing both sides of the case and sharing any exculpatory evidence with the defense, which they did not do. Add insult to injury, then he lifted Kyle's AR-15 and pointed around the courtroom, including toward the jury, with his finger on the trigger, an Alec Baldwin moment that was completely outrageous, should never have happened. He ought to have been thrown out of court. After the on that basis alone, he has clearly violated the legal code of ethics for Wisconsin, of that I have no doubt. In my opinion, these actions on the part of the prosecution are so egregious, he deserves to be disbarred. Not only that, but after the jury, after 4 days of deliberation, and they took their time, and I've reviewed the legal issues here. There's a brilliant piece by a guy named Andrew Branca, who's our leading expert in the U.S. on self-defense, who lays out the criteria must be satisfied and how they were satisfied in each of the five charges brought against Kyle, so that the jury rendered the appropriate verdict in relation to the evidence and the law. They moved for a mistrial with prejudice, which meant that the charges could not be refiled. They filed the motion initially before they discovered that the drone footage, the higher quality, had been withheld, and then reasserted it after it turned out the drone footage had been withheld. The judge said he'd take it under advisement. After the guilty plea was introduced by the jury, they reaffirmed the motion, and the judge granted the motion to dismiss with prejudice, which means these charges cannot be refiled. But the mainstream is doing none of this. Here you have Gerald Nadler, of all people, stating, "This heartbreaking verdict is a miscarriage of justice and sets a dangerous precedent which justifies federal review by the DOJ. Justice cannot tolerate armed persons crossing state lines looking for trouble while people engage in First Amendment protected protest." And of course, those he's talking about were people who are looting, rioting, and committing arson. And those he shot, that Kyle shot, were attacking him. Joseph Rosenbaum was attacking him. He threatened to kill him. He boxed him in. Iowa was seeking to evade him. He had his hands and fists. It turns out more people die in the United States as a result of being beaten to death or strangled to death than die from being shot by guns. And the overwhelming majority of those who are shot by guns are shot by handguns. It's a minuscule proportion that are shot using rifles. Moreover, the percentage of cases in which whites shoot blacks is trifling. 10 times as many blacks kill whites as whites kill blacks. And about the same percentage of blacks kill blacks, like 50 times more than whites kill blacks. That's simply stunning. And then whites killing whites, about the same percentage as black killed whites, about 10 times as many as whites killed blacks. But the fact of the matter is, all of this is information withheld from the American people while the mainstream media continues to play the public for saps. Here's a paraphrase of even LeBron James getting involved. This man has disgraced himself. we shouldn't have to worry about getting shot every time we try to kill someone. I'm very pleased to bring in Mike Sparks to comment on all of this, but there's a lot of good stuff out there. There's a wonderful piece on the UNS Review, Nonsensical Race War, New York City Flooded with Anti-Kyle Protesters, all of whom seem to believe that Kyle shot and killed black men. I mean, it's just outrageous. Mike, it's such a pleasure to have you here.
Yes, we're going to start with the nihilist liars are committing felony crimes of hoaxing, violating Title 18, Section 1038. If somebody dies from these hoaxes, they can be imprisoned for life. They, Nadler and that other representative, the mainstream media, people perpetrating this dangerous, deadly hoax should be arrested and tried and found guilty and imprisoned. That's not happening because since 1963, America's been in a moral free fall with the CIA Illuminati murder of JFK, which we'll talk about later. The New York Times versus Sullivan decision has damned us to where the media can lie, and they are not accountable to being sued for their lie. That's got to change. That's why we're in the mess we're in. The media can lie at will, and lie at will that will get people killed, like these Waukesha protesters that rammed this guy's SUV that weighs 3,500 to 6,000 pounds. These old ladies rammed that black guy's SUV and put a dent in it and committed suicide and killed themselves. That is outrageous.
That's how the mainstream wants to spin it, Mike. Yes, yes.
Exactly. Just like the Soviet Union complained about KL 007 airliner ramming their missile. In 1983, they rammed our missile. What these people are doing are white is black, black is white. They're lying. And the real reason they're angry at the Rittenhouse murder, it wasn't a murder, it was self-defense, is not because of black racism. The real motive is they want to be able to riot, loot, and burn. And he represents, no, we're not going to stand up to it. And they wanted him to go down so no one would stand up to rioting, looting, and murdering by, you know, Molotov cocktails or Soros bricks. If you take a Soros brick or a rock and you have it in your hand and you're going to throw it, that's a lethal, deadly force attack. You should be shot dead immediately. You shouldn't have to wait until, you know, Kyle had it, you know, Glock pistol pointed at him. We should shoot these people immediately, these rioters, looters, burners. That's what should happen. But what they wanted to do is see, you know, Kyle as an example to scare everyone into not resisting their evil, you know, their evil rioting. But we need to arrest these guys, Nadler and that representative, at least, because they don't have New York Times versus Sullivan Supreme Court, you know, protection. They should be arrested for the felony hoaxing. And once they're arrested and found guilty, they cannot hold any office ever again. It's what we should do with Biden and Harris. I've mentioned that before.
Let me just add, Mike, that Mitchell has posted in the chat that they're attempting to explain this away. Get this, NBC. The incident may have transpired when a knife fight or stabbing occurred and when the person of interest in custody fled, according to four senior law enforcement officials who spoke to NBC News. They added, this person may have a significant criminal history. Well, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, his criminal history is a matter of public knowledge. And the idea that he was fleeing a knife fight is something they want to used to excuse his action, but it's obviously absurd on its face. If he were concerned about a knife fight, once he got into his SUV, he was secure. He had to ram through barriers in order to get to the parade. I watched the video. He was traveling at a high rate of speed, at least 40 miles an hour, I'd estimate, and then he deliberately targeted marchers. This is a farce. NBC is disgusting, but they reveal their true colors. They're nothing but propaganda for the malevolent forces who want to destroy America. I've been engaged in a debate on reader-supported news, which published a fairly absurd piece laden with false information about who Kyle Rittenhouse shot, his motives, his circumstances, and all that. I thought it would be desirable to engage in a debate about it. And I was surprised when, after I put up my first post, which actually was virtually the same as a letter I'd submitted to the Wisconsin State Journal about an absurd piece they'd published that was suggesting guilty or innocent Kyle Rittenhouse was wrong, as though, you know, rioting good, self-defense bad. It was appalling. Right. And then had a whole sequence of exchanges, which I've now published on my blog. So anyone can go there and see how these Democrats are in denial. They can't bring themselves to recognize even the most elementary facts of this case. Even the president of the United States, of course, was describing him as a white supremacist. You had all these hosts and commentators on MSNBC describing him as a domestic terrorist or as a racist. You even had the prosecutors in Kenosha falsely claiming he was an active shooter, which is an aggressor, and that he fired 60 rounds, which is simply ridiculous. He might have fired, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 max. But the fact is, their lies, there's an open door for their lies, as Ben Garrison has portrayed it in one of his brilliant political cartoons, but it slammed shut by the not guilty verdict. I mean, Mike, fleeing a knife tack, that couldn't possibly justify this. Are people so dumb they're going to fall for this? Tell me.
Yes, they will, because of face value. Just as long as there's a face value put up there, the American people can only handle one thought at a time, not more than one. So in this kind of complex reality, they don't understand that lie one is repudiated by lie two, that he's in a very heavy SUV. Three, well, lie two, the truth two, the second thought, is that there's barriers around the parade site, and they had to be consciously driven through by him. There's no explanation for that, of him being sedate and, you know, stationary to do that. So that's idea number two. And then you got idea number three, which is that he has a motive to do this, and that idea is a felony, violence inciting hoax. So there are three ideas. The American people can't handle one. So all they do is read the headlines. You know, headlines say, we'll say the protesters rammed this black American. You know, that's the way they could do it. And the headlines, all they're going to read, which, you know, contains one lie, one idea. So the problem is the American people are stupid. I'm the only one that's got the courage to say that.
Let me follow up with Rolf Lindgren, who's appeared on this show many times, has sent me a Red State article entitled AP Leaves Facts on the Cutting Room Floor by Jim Thompson, which begins as follows. The Associated Press is at it again. Last month, I wrote a critique of an AP fact checker who clearly didn't check her facts. There were multiple factual errors in the article, including the central predicate fact that still remains uncorrected. Who checks AP fact checkers? Who knows? Today's edition of AP Word Manipulation can be found here. The lead is as follows. Prosecutors in Kyle Rittenhouse's murder trial may have lost their best chance at convicting the Illinois man of something when the judge threw out a charge that Rittenhouse was a minor in possession of a dangerous weapon. Judge Schroeder didn't throw out the charge. He dismissed it because the statute did not fit the charge. The defense made a motion to dismiss because the statute states that a gun barrel has to be shorter than 16 inches for it to apply. The rifle Rittenhouse possessed had a barrel exceeding 16 inches. 2 plus 2 still equals 4. The prosecution didn't argue that the barrel was longer than 16 inches. They simply whined. The fact is that that may have been their best chance, and since it had no substance or whatsoever, you can tell, they were in the position of bringing a case. They could not win if the law and the evidence were properly applied. Their sole case involved an emotional appeal during to the jurors involving various distortions I've already enumerated. This is just disgusting, 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 Mike. Tell me more.
Right, but it's sophistry, sophisticated lying, dirty tricks, twisting words like the difference between the judge throwing something out implies that it was a preference of the judge that did it, when it's, as you said, it was legally wrong and disqualified. See that the subtlety of this evil? The American people are not up to it. They're nihilists. They're functional nihilists. They don't care about details, and they're only going to read the headlines. So that's why we have to get New York Times versus Sullivan thrown out. The Supreme Court, if you want to fix America, right, this has got to get thrown out. You print a lie, Mike, it gets people killed, you need to go to jail.
Mike, I don't quite get, I mean, New York versus Sullivan is an anti-defamation law. It just specifies the conditions under which defamation is bringable as a charge. We're about to hit the break. Let me just emphasize, Project Veritas has been emphasizing that journalists today are being instructed to stop thinking in terms of objective journalism. Here's a perfect illustration. A meme from CNN. Prosecutors find mail-in jury votes at 3 a.m. Rittenhouse now guilty. I'm so delighted to have Mike Sparks here. We'll continue. We'll be right back after the break. And our primary focus for the rest of the show will be JFK. See you on the other side. And if we have a moment more, believe me, the propaganda about the assassination of JFK is even more suffocating than what we're getting right now about Kyle Rittenhouse and what we're about to be overwhelmed with regarding this event in Waukesha. So,
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? that the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities, and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
As most regular listeners to this show are well aware, I began serious research on the assassination of our 35th president back in 1992 in the wake of criticism of Oliver Stone's magisterial film JFK. It was indeed when I was simply lying in bed reading the paper, drinking a cup of coffee, when my wife came in, flipped on the TV and said, "You won't believe this." And I saw a very distinguished-looking man standing behind a lectern with a logo of the American Medical Association denouncing everyone who'd ever done serious research on the assassination by exposing the massive gaps and hopeless inadequacy of the Warren Report. He was citing individuals by name, including Charles Crenshaw, who was a physician who had been in trauma room number one when JFK's moribund body was brought in, and then 2 days later was responsible for the care and treatment of his alleged assassin. I reached out to a letter to the editor, the author of a letter to the editor of the Journal of the AMA, of which this individual, whose name was George Lundberg, was the editor-in-chief, because it resonated with my views. And came into collaboration with David W. Mantic, MD, PhD. He has a PhD in physics from Wisconsin, an MD from Michigan, board certified in radiation oncology, which is a treatment of cancer using X-ray therapy. So he's an expert in the interpretation of X-rays. He was about to enter the National Archives, and I'll never forget our conversation where he explained to me he thought he would discover first evidence of a second shot to the head, and in addition, that the autopsy x-rays had been altered. He found both. That was the initiation of 30 years of collaborative research on the assassination, a distillation of the results of which I have published in the Real Deal JFK special of 18 November 2021. It's on my BitChute site, BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. It's on my blog at jamesfetzer.org, where I've added the following commentary. Dedicated to Oliver Stone, whose new film will be released on 22 November 19, 2021. His JFK was a masterpiece with three flaws. He did not know that Oswald was in the doorway of the book depository at the time the JFK motorcade passed by, or that the Zapruder film had been massively edited, no doubt because he was relying upon advice from Robert Grodin, who has played the JFK community virtually from the beginning. And he posited 3 hit teams when there turned out to have been 8 assassins. My worry is that this sequel, which I have been told was screenwritten by one Jim DiEugenio, may suffer from similar defects. We shall see. I have the greatest admiration for Oliver, who's been doing his best to get the truth about JFK out to the American public, and I wish him nothing but success in that endeavor. Now, if you go to my blog, I'm told that because of a newsletter, which is a new addition to the site, which has recently been revamped, comes down and you get a blue covering. Well, there's an X there. If you click on the X, it will disappear. I'm seeing if I can have the newsletter suspended until I can figure out how to take advantage of it, because it talks about getting information about the blog and my other research activities, and I want to take full advantage, but I haven't figured out how to use it yet. So the site, in a way, is ahead of me in terms of technology, but I only mention that if you go there and you find this blue covering about the newsletter. Look, there's an X. There's an X close to the center. Just click on the X, it'll disappear, and you can access my Real Deal JFK special. Now, I've done hundreds of shows about JFK, and I'll just say, I think this one really is a very clear, comprehensive, and detailed exposition of what we have discovered, where my greatest strength may be that I know what I do not know, and therefore bring in experts who are more qualified than I in various areas, such as David Mantic, who turns out to be the leading expert on medical evidence in the world today, Bob Livingston, a world authority on the human brain, who is also an expert on wound ballistics, having supervised an emergency medical hospital for injured Okinawans and Japanese prisoners of war during the Battle of Okinawa, Charles Crenshaw himself, who was, as I mentioned, in trauma room number 1 when JFK's moribund body was brought in, and then 2 days later was responsible for the care and treatment of his alleged assassin, Lee Oswald. Jack White, another legendary film and video analyst, John P. Costello, PhD, this time in electromagnetism, an expert on the properties of light and of images of moving objects, who performed a brilliant tutorial exposing how, based upon evidence internal to the Zapruder film, you can prove that it was manufactured as a fabrication from original sources that were then edited and crafted together in order to create what we have available, which, let me add, includes removing 100 frames turning from Houston onto Elm because the driver, William Greer, swung out too widely, nearly hit a concrete abutment, had to pause and then get back in line, and another 400 after William Greer pulled the limousine to the left and to a halt to make sure Jack would be killed. He'd been hit twice already, once in the back from behind, 5.5 inches below the collar just to the right of the spinal column by a shallow shot, only went in about as far as the second knuckle on your little finger, probably because it was fired from the top of the county records building with a larger caliber rifle using a plastic collar known as a sabot to implant a Mannlicher Carcano bullet in JFK's back, where this round appears to have also gone through the upholstery. But Jack was wearing his very secure back brace. He was upright. He couldn't have fallen to the ground in order to protect himself, even after he knew he'd been hit. And a second shot, which passed through the windshield and hit him in the throat, where Bob Livingston, the world authority on the human brain, believes that round fragmented, part went down into his right lung, the other upward, to sever the tentorium, a very tough membrane that covers the cerebellum, observing that we have repeated observations from the physicians at Parkland of cerebellar as well as cerebral tissue extruding from the Swiss-sized blow at the back of his head, which was caused by a shot that entered the right temple, fired from the intersection of the triple underpass and the picket fence by Frank Sturgis, who was a soldier of fortune, but working for the CIA. I believe he was the CIA's representative in the shooting, where each of the sponsors, including the CIA, the Joint Chiefs, the anti-Castro Cubans, the Texas oil men, the Eastern establishment surrounding the Fed and Israel, put up their own shooter. So you got eight, one of whom is a deputy sheriff for Dallas, another a Dallas police officer with ties to the CIA. You had an Air Force expert inside the Triple Underpass who fired the shot that went through the windshield. You had this soldier of fortune, Sturgis. You had Lyndon Johnson's personal hitman, Malcolm Mack Wallace. You had an anti-Castro Cuban in the Dow Techs firing three shots, the only unsilent shots, with a Mannlicher Carcano in order to create the acoustical impression of only three shots having been fired. I go through all of this in detail in this overview, which runs an hour and 50 minutes. So check it out. Mike, I want to bring in, but I wanted to lay a bit of a foundation as we proceed. Go ahead, lay us on your thoughts, because you were the first to confirm to me that when you distinguish between the sponsors, the facilitators, and the mechanics, where the sponsors are the groups I've identified who wanted Jack out and Lyndon in primarily for reasons of policy, with the exception of the anti-Castro Cubans who wanted revenge for the false belief that he betrayed them at the Bay of Pigs, which the CIA allowed them to continue to believe, where the agency had learned the Soviets knew we were coming to invade Cuba and exactly the date. The CIA had learned the Russians knew it had formed Fidel Castro, but they left JFK in the dark. So the commander-in-chief, who would under the circumstances have called the whole thing off, was not informed to lead him into this fiasco at the Bay of Pigs, which was extremely embarrassing and was a reason why JFK, after investigating what had happened at the Bay of Pigs by Maxwell Taylor and Bobby, had decided he had to shatter the CIA into 1,000 pieces. They couldn't allow that to happen and move forward aggressively to contribute to the assassination. But it was a very large-scale op with a designated patsy to point in precisely the opposite direction, and where the supervisors and coordinators on the ground included George Herbert Walker Bush and Edward Lansdale. And Mike, I believe you were the first to say to me how you saw Lansdale's fingerprints all over the assassination scene in Dealey Plaza. Please elaborate.
Yes, you can go to my Dynamic Para 007 video channel on BitChute. Scroll down to a scale model of the limousine with JFK, Jackie, and Nellie, and all that. And you'll see the model vision that we did showing the missing footage, what it would have looked like in the Zapruder film. And then we show the limousine stopping twice. You can see an animation that we did showing that. Lansdale's fingerprints are more detailed in this website. You go to combatreform.org/, and in all caps, the JFK research site. You go there, and there's a PowerPoint presentation where I show by military reverse engineering how Lansdale's fingerprints are on this assassination, this group's assassination by the CIA, the Rockefeller Illuminati is the way I call the Eastern establishment. You'll see they reverse engineered it from the basic reality that a moving car is hard to hit. You can see this in the beginning of the movie Day of the Jackal. They recreate General Charles de Gaulle, who's president of France, in this crappy, you know, ugly French limousine sedan, running very fast, not even armored, and they opened fire and they just couldn't hit. So the CIA learned by that failure they had to stop the limousine if they had any chance of hitting Jack, you know, President John F. Kennedy. So they had to stop the limousine, and they had to work backwards to get to that point, get him into, you know, the kill zone on Elm Street, turn, you know, onto Elm Street with that L-shaped turn to justify slowing down the limousine, But there's no, if you go back and you'll see it in my presentation, they could have went straight, just kept going straight on Main Street and gone to the site where he was going to speak. There was no excuse to go into Dealey Plaza other than to be at the end of the parade when the audience would trickle to nothing and no one would be less people seeing what happened, less eye and ear witnesses. And of course, to get him into that kill zone, which JFK, the movie, shows about the triangulated shot to increase your hit probability. But the main point that I conclude is we must disband the CIA. We already know enough that they did it. If we want justice for JFK, disband the CIA. The next thing we need to do is we need to blacklist LBJ. As a society, we haven't figured this out yet. I'm not talking about canceling LBJ. We need to remember it. But the 1st Cavalry Division patch, have you ever seen it? It's the largest patch in the U.S. military. It's a big, giant yellow patch, and it's, you know, heraldic shape. It's got a line going through it, and that line is for losing the colors in World War II. We need to put a black line through every picture of LBJ. Definitely not name any damn ships after him to remind us of the scoundrel murderer that he was, killing JFK to become president, among other people. He killed other people. So as a country, we haven't had the catharsis. Even in Russia, they got rid of the KGB and replaced it with the FSB. There's no remorse in the United States for Kennedy's murder. Everyone knows the government did it. And we have taken no action. When Caesar was group ambushed, right, there's a group ambush, his instigators, Cassius and Brutus and the others, were killed and captured in ancient Rome, 44 AD. How many people have been punished for JFK's murder? None. And you got to face the fact that America sucks. Our country's not all that it's cracked up to be. I spoke about this in the last video interview with you, that our Constitution is weak. It's very weak on complex false flag attacks because the Founding Fathers, you know, participated in the 1773 Boston Tea Party. So there's nothing in the U.S. Constitution that has a mechanism to find out what happened before you have to accumulate enough evidence to prosecute an H.W. Bush or a Frank Sturgis. Our adversarial injustice system by John Adams is crap. Other countries have an inquisitory legal system where they first find out what happened, use the legal powers of bringing people in, putting them under oath, under threat of perjury that they found out later, they go to prison. Okay? That's what I was talking about earlier about the media lying at will to libel people. If they can libel people, they can also lie about events, false flag attacks that result in people dying. But the point is that that legal power has not been used on JFK. We haven't had a William Garrison, Elliot Ness, you know, counterpart gone after JFK other than Garrison in his localized way. We haven't had that, you know, where we bring people in and make them talk or else they go into prison. You know, your Kevin Costner situation, Untouchables. So there should be a grand jury of the United States because these things are going to happen. You're going to have false flag attacks. You had the Boston Tea Party, right? The American people are not shrewd. I don't know what happened when we conquered the West, but we are not shrewd, which means having or showing a clever awareness or resourcefulness, especially in practical matters. Disposed to or marked by artful and cunning practices, tricky, sharp, penetrating. The American people, nihilists that they are none of those things. You know, if we were clever and smart, we would have upgraded the 1787 U.S. Constitution and had a grand jury of the United States, have inquisitions, and have public inquest on what went wrong. And I point out to a book called The Inheritance by Chris Fulton. Have you seen that book, read it?
Oh, what's the name again, Mike?
The Inheritance by Chris Fulton. He had JFK's watch and
oh,
tapes,
yeah, but
audio tapes.
But, Mike, that turns out to be a misleading story. I mean, it's a bit detailed here, but that's not right. And JFK did leave all of his jewelry back at the office. They wanted to make sure he didn't have it because it might have deflected bullets. But the story about the watch appears to be heretical.
No, I'm talking about the audio tapes. He was offered asylum in Russia. If he would go there, they'd publish his tapes, and he didn't do that, so his wife and his two dogs were murdered, and he was imprisoned and tortured for 10 years. I'm using this as proof that the United States is just not a well-thought-out country. We've got to stop worshiping the United States and realize that we've become America with a K. We've had a moral free fall since the JFK group ambush murder by the CIA. We've been in moral panic since 2001 with the 9/11 false flag attack. And this year, we've had a moral collapse with the election steal. So no one is citizens arresting any of these criminals, criminal hoaxers like Biden and Harris. No one's willing to put their life on the line to arrest these people because you're going to have to probably use some lethal force to do it. You might lose your life. Well, these people don't love the United States that much. They think, you know, when you die, the lights go out. You know, that's it. Nihilism. So that's the disease that's infected the country. So these people that are protesting the Kyle Rittenhouse thing, they're only protesting because they put an end to some nihilists that were rioting and looting and burning. Kyle Rittenhouse said, no, you're not going to do this. I'm standing guard here. And they don't want that. They want to be able to just misbehave all they can get away with, you know, in this life. So that's the actual disease. And we talked about it in the last show. The solution is 2 years of national service. The American people have to become shrewd. We have to connect to objective physical reality again. So we're not conned by this a cruise missile painted to look like a 757. That's a con. That ain't going to fly. That's not what happened. But if you don't have any experience, you know, seeing in this case just the appearance of objects at a distance, you're going to get conned. So we need to get people back into objective physical reality, as Teddy Roosevelt concluded. And 2 years of national service in a corps of your choice doesn't have to be the military, not the draft. It could be a police corps, nursing corps, civilian conservation corps, spy corps, space corps, science corps. We need to connect to show that there's more to life than just consumerism, that has become more and more introverted. The consumerism has got everybody drawn to this tiny cell phone screen. So one of the problems you and I are having is people are not going to our websites because they don't want to do the eye strain due diligence of reading a full screen presentation of the facts. They want it, you know, spoon fed to them in a video, which will do, will oblige them, but it's not as good as reading. When you read it, you internalize it. You don't know what I'm talking about. You're an educator. I got a degree in education too. It's stronger when you read, but the American people don't want to read. And that fact, they're at the point now, they don't even want to listen to the whole video. They just read the, you know, the headline of the video and look at the thumbnail. So that's what I've had to do with my BitChute videos, is make it enticing for them to read the headline and maybe watch a couple minutes of the video. But they won't, you know, stick around much longer than, what, 5 minutes? They also want an authority figure, you know, subject matter expert to talk to them and spoon feed the facts. Hopefully the facts to them. So you see where I'm getting at, that we don't have a very strong populace that is shrewd against this reality fraud that are being constantly done to them. So we got to dig ourselves out of this hole, you know, and a start would be disband the CIA. If you don't disband the CIA, we're not going to be around for the 22nd century. I think it's not much of a stretch to make that conclusion. The CIA is constantly committing treason against the United States for the Illuminati, Rockefeller and Rothschild Illuminati. When I say Rockefeller, you got a video on my BitChute. You can see it. It's 11 million people in the Illuminati globally. The Rockefellers like war. They're Stoics. They're immoral Stoics. They want people to wave the flag, worship the flag. Another term for it would be deep state or the MILINCOMP, military industrial complex. They're type, they appeal to type A personality people. The Rothschild Illuminati, who are in charge now by stealing the White House, are appealing to the type B personality people who, you know, hug trees, eat one of them at a barbecue and everything like that. And they're the lesser of the two evils, but they're still evil because they're trying to say, you know, we're killing the planet, so now we're going to go tax everybody to death to buy, you know, so-called clean energy that takes more oil to make a solar panel than it is just to burn the oil, you know, to get the effect that you're trying to get. But I go back to 25, 40, 35. You and I, Jim, are 35 percenters. We're always going to do what the our conscience says. Doesn't matter. Be damned what is going on around us. We're rock solid. The sad problem is that there's 25%, one-fourth of all human beings are psych sociopaths. They're born or their conscience was weakened by some brain damage. The sociopaths have a weak conscience. They have no empathy. You can see a psychopath by early in his life murdering, you know, killing an animal or a bug. And W. Bush is a psychopath. He, I believe, blew up frogs with firecrackers, things like that. That's a sign of a psychopath. Well, those 25 percenters, obviously all Illuminati, 11 million globally, can control the 40% in the middle from the Milgen experience, you know, experiments and the Stanford experiment. The 40% in the middle will do whatever authority figure says. So we must not have psych sociopaths running anything, any social fabric.
Mike, hold those thoughts. We're going to a break. We'll be right back with Mike Sparks talking about JFK, Kyle Rittenhouse, the mainstream media, and treason, betrayal of the American people and the Constitution thereof. We'll be right back.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening. Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host here with Mike Sparks, my featured guest today. We're talking principally about the Kyle Rittenhouse issue and the savage assault in Waukesha on those who were conducting a parade by a black guy who apparently was deluded into believing that Kyle shot three black people and that he was a white supremacist, and the jury simply let him off, all of which is completely absurd. And of course, the assassination of JFK, just in response to Mike's extensive comments about our form of government. There are, of course, many. They range from monarchies and aristocracies to plutocracies to, you know, a whole host and range, but where, in my assessment, the Constitution of the United States of Madison, Jefferson, Washington, Franklin is the most sensational, important document in the history of politics because it creates divided government. So you have checks and balances, one branch responsible for passing the laws, another branch for enforcing them, another for interpreting them. It implies a whole system of periodic reviews where you have elections every 2 years for members of the House of Representatives, every six for members of the Senate, where you can have recall, you can have reforms, you can have referenda. There are all ways in which the government and the laws of the nation can be changed piecemeal by way of reforms that do not require resorting to revolution. Among the wise observations of JFK was that those who make peaceful reform impossible make violent revolution inevitable. Now, Where I differ with Mike is that I think the problem is with the administration of the Constitution, that we have too many corrupt institutions and political figures. Could not be exemplified better than by the current Biden-Harris administration, which came into office by grand theft election 2020. It appears that there was manipulation of the vote in all 50 of the states, but most importantly in the key swing states of Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, and Wisconsin, where I myself reside, and where they're moving forward with, for example, mandates that are completely illegal, that have no constitutional or basis in the statutes of the country, trying to get everyone vaxxed with a vaccine that has been described by Sherry Tenpenny as a perfectly designed killing machine. They've insisted the military be vaxxed. Just imagine what happens when our military is wiped out by having been vaccinated by an edict that was completely illegal but imposed upon the military by a brainless boob who's serving as a sock puppet president of the United States, and where his running mate, Kamala Harris, has no virtues whatsoever, where their popularity now of 38% and 28% respectively is a reflection of the contempt in which they're held by the American people. The problem is, and I think Mike's correct about this, discerning a way in which we can resist this imposition of what is, in fact, a de facto tyranny, a form of despotism, by what ought to be a constitutional administration. I mean, after all, the whole purpose of the president is not to keep us safe. It's to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. But now we have an administration that is itself an enemy of the Constitution, seeking to undermine and destroy it. The open borders, the supply chain problems, combined with these mandates, all appear to be ways in which the United States is being destroyed by the American government. We've never had a situation like this, completely unprecedented. Mike, I want you to pick up wherever you'd like, but yes, I do too. Yeah. Go ahead.
Strategic oil reserves. He's selling it to China, our strategic oil reserves.
Yes. Absurd. I mean,
so it's like how much more treason does he have to do?
Yes. Go. Yeah.
Basically, the situation will probably have to get so bad, like the Black Death and the taxes, to cause a peasant's revolt. I point back to 1381 in England. If we have the Illuminati out to exterminate us, not decimate us like in your commercial, 10% is the decimation. This is extermination. They want 6.5 billion, or you were saying there are more people in the world last time we were on the interview. But whatever, they want 500 million left, so the earth is more roomy for the Illuminati. But it's extermination, not decimation. At some point, the sheep are going to have to become shrewd and say, look, we got nothing to lose. We're going to die if we don't revolt. I don't think systemically the U.S. Constitution is strong enough. It wasn't strong enough. The Sykes sociopaths figured out how to game it. They've, you know, perverted it over the years, and now it's fallen. It's not protected us from election steal. So it obviously doesn't protect us from false flag attacks. I've already detailed that. But we need to start over. I would say start over with text that you don't believe in that. But another thing, at the individual level, the guy that called in, Bernie, was right. We should have laws that demand the individual citizen act as a good Samaritan. So when Kyle Rittenhouse was being attacked, a bunch of people around him should have came to his aid. And that didn't happen because we don't have laws saying that, because the country has to be upgraded, improved, and we haven't. 1787 Constitution is not the catch-all, end-all, end state. The Founding Fathers expected us to improve it, and we haven't. We let it degenerate from what its original ideas were, which you stated eloquently was separation of powers, and have the no one power, you know, dominate, so that there is some objectivity there, but there's ideas that I bring up and the only one bringing them up. Okay, that is the concept of a reality fraud, the concept of organized conspiracy taking over, synarchy, you know, oligarchs taking over, then the concept of the individual person, how he lives his life. We have a kind of, you know, just go figure it out yourself. I don't think we do it anymore. Maybe when we were in the little house in the prairie, agrarian farming, you had to have some moral stoicism or, you know, you die. But now in the urbanized society that we've got, and even in the city and the country, it's urbanized. You know what I mean? We're not subject to death from the battle against the earth, environmental factors. We're not building moral stoical character in our people. That I think as a country, we need to grow up and say everybody has to do 2 years of national service, because it ain't happening in high school. It ain't happening at the family. Ain't happening in the church. There has to be some event early in a person's life where he develops moral, stoical character, or at least gives it a chance to see, hey, you know, instead of me just drugging up all the time and just being obsessed with my next text message coming in and giving me an endorphin high, why don't I give discipline a chance? And it could be done wrong, of course. There's a danger in that. But I just think that the American model of 1787, based on a moral, stoical, agrarian, political economic system is not here, and we've got to face that we've been urbanized, and we're going to have to build some character and use the coercive powers of government to make it happen. I mean, you know, the government can tell you to do something against your will, but if it's in good faith, it's for their best interest, they'll thank us later. But if we don't use that coercive power now, you know, in a proactive way to build character, they're going to use the government and their power, coercive powers, in a negative way. Like, go to the death camp, the FEMA death camp. You didn't get vaccinated. Go to the death camp. Or you did get vaccinated. You're going to die soon. I don't want you taking down any of us Illuminati while you're realizing, you know, from your blood clots, your organ failures, you know, symptoms of the poison vax. We don't want you getting heroic suddenly. You know, we'll put you in a FEMA death camp. And I'm afraid that's coming. Just because we're Americans doesn't mean we're immune to this. You know, we put people in camps before, you know that, during World War II, to put the Japanese in camps. It's not above us to do such a thing. You know, human nature is human nature. 25, 40, 35, that's what polarologists have concluded. You know, the book is called Political Polarology by, can't pronounce his name, Wasowski, okay, a Polish guy. His conclusion was 24% psych sociopaths. I rounded up one more point to 25. But that's not me just pulling this out of my butt. You know, got the, you know, Milgen experiments and the Sanford experiments proving the 25, 40, 35 split, and the 1787 U.S. Constitution doesn't account for that. In my humble opinion, I think 1787 expects no more than 10% psych sociopath. You know, bad people live in bad faith. It's a low-balled it, and we've got to upgrade. So we don't have to have a constitutional convention and open the can of worms and lose the good that's there. We can do amendments. So we could have a constitutional amendment. Bang, everyone has to do 2 years of mandatory service. Constitutional amendment. Bang, we're going to have a grand jury of the United States to figure out what false flag attacks happened before we try to, you know, persecute somebody. Wait till we have enough evidence. Never comes, like the Great Pumpkin. Never have enough evidence to put H.W. Bush in jail. We could do this by constitutional amendment, fix the country. Obviously, we're going to have to gain control of the country now. I call that Plan D. You know, I outlined in the other interview, but I guess, you know, my bad cell phone use on my part, using the speakerphone, ruined my, you know, testimony from last interview. But basically, Plan A was, you know, the American people vote. They vote for Trump. It is sound. Things go wrong. The counts fix it. That didn't happen. So Plan B was the government's you know, the states aren't going to ratify the election. That didn't happen. Plan C was the courts. That didn't happen. So we're on plan D, restore the republic, which would be arrest, you know, Biden and Harris, citizens arrest for felony hoaxing, Title 18, Section 1038. I don't think that's going to happen, but okay. And then plan E in my wire diagram is, you know, exit. You know, you don't believe in it. You don't believe we could feasible and all that. But we got to do something drastic, 1381 Peasants Revolt style, because as your commercial says, this passive, you know, resistance isn't working. You know, nationwide strike maybe. Unfortunately, the COVID thing has tried that. You know, they want you to stay home and not work and crash the economy. We got to do something drastic to get the Illuminati, you know, out of control if you want Plan D to work.
The problem,
you know,
with
I just tried to lay the wire diagram out here for you.
Mike, look, I agree with a lot of your sentiments. I think the problem with citizens' arrest is with a corrupt figure like Merrick Garland as Attorney General, they're going to bring all the force of the Department of Justice and the FBI against anyone who seeks to implement a just arrest of a political figure. I mean, this is a totally Soviet-style operation going on here. And I agree with you. I mean, really, the objective is to impose a Chinese communist-style social merit system upon citizens of the United States, and they're using the COVID and the idea of COVID passports and all that to implement it. Let me add that I couldn't agree more about, you mentioned 2 years of national service. I believe we should restore, well, I refer to it as the draft. I know you think it's better to refer to as national service, and you're probably right. Everyone should serve a minimum of 2 years of national service, where you have a choice between whether you serve in military or civilian, the equivalent of the Peace Corps, as it were, or as a civilian conservation corps. Right now, we have generations who have no military experience. They've never acquired a sense of discipline. They have no notion of responsibility. We've got younger people in the United States who don't know the butt from the barrel of a rifle. I mean, it's embarrassingly bad. Right. And a dumbed down and unqualified population is very amenable to manipulation by mainstream media that specializes in fake news. And that's, of course, what we're up against. Mike, go ahead.
Right. So we're going to have to start somewhere. And, you know, the way to do it would be, you know, voluntarily. There's nothing stopping you from, you know, enlisting or going to the officer program and joining the military. But right now we're in a quandary because they're demanding you take the death vax to be in the military. So we probably need to make some kind of, you know, state level, I hate to use the M word, militia units, and get that kinetic skills. And if military units don't have to be just military, why don't we have a state voluntary disaster corps, you know, to respond to disasters and have medical skills learned and, you know, infrastructure repair skills learned, you know, how to run a bulldozer so you can move debris. You see what I mean? The states could do this national service and do it right without it being tainted and perverted by the vaccine death vax mandate. And we should do it. We should start with Texas and the other red states should mandate 2 years of national service at a state, you know, national service function. And it should continue to the age of 60. It shouldn't be just 2 years, you know, when you're young. You should have like a reserve commitment, you know, like, you know, Army Reserve, you know, Marine Corps Reserve, whatever. But I do believe it should be 30 days. You know, my long experience in the Army and Marine Reserves, you know, when I was going to college, is that 2 weeks a year and 1 weekend a month is not enough. People can pretend. I learned that 30-day mobilization or more, people's true colors come out. But on a positive note, if you're on active duty for 30 days or more, you get full benefits so you can get your teeth fixed and your true colors come out, and we can change people. In 30 days, we can get people in shape. Okay, let me just be more direct. And the secret to being in shape is basically, in the BBC special, you can see it on my bit shoot, is 1 minute of exercise all out, high intensity, on a bike, stationary bike, for 1 minute, three times a week. That's the secret of exercise that'll get your numbers moving up. It doesn't have to be an hour or more. The hour or more of exercise each day is the number needed, the time needed to start burning fat calories. So you do 1 minute three times a week for your fitness. And then if you don't like your body shape and your body weight, then you walk for over an hour, you know, every other day. You know, get your legs a rest. So America could get in shape that way without, you know, having to waste their money on health clubs and things like that, that, you know, try to do it in a high intensity level for an hour or two. But, you know, it's overkill and it doesn't seem to work. You just watch the BBC special on that. But you see what I mean? Everybody has the potential to be at their best physical shape at, we'll say 18, whenever the advent of your cells stopping, you know, growing, when your cells are set. So it's important that young people, you know, limit the amount of fat cells they have at that moment when their bodies are set into adulthood. So we need to have this happen, you know, in high school, in elementary school before they get there. But if you can't, then doggone it, as soon as you get out of high school, 2 years, build that moral stoical character. And we can do it at state level. But right now we're reacting. We're reacting to all of these Illuminati dirty tricks. I think we need to go on offense. I think the red states need to say, look, our people are just not shrewd. They're just not where they need to be, and we need to do national service, and we'll do it. And, you know, Texas is starting to do that right with the wall. They're building walls using shipping containers. You know, I've been an advocate of that with the military, using them as giant Legos, battle boxes. They're using the shipping containers to build the rest of Trump's wall down there in Texas. So the Texans are starting to get it, that they don't need to wait for the federal government, you know, to do the right thing and make their part of the America what it needs to be. You know, other states, you know, Arizona next door, New Mexico need to do it too. But the national service is a big one, Jim. It's, you're going to have to put your foot down on this younger generation. It's going to be ugly. They don't want it. I'm telling you, every time I say national service on one of my BitChute channels, I get a lot of thumbs down.
Well, that's too bad, because it, that's too bad, Mike, because I agree. I think it's completely appropriate, and it gets families reengaged with foreign policy, because as things stand, when you have an all-volunteer army, they know, the families know their sons and daughters aren't at risk with regard to decisions of war and peace. And if it were not the case that Nixon had abolished a draft in order to undermine or reduce the anti-war movement, which he feared, American families would have continued to be concerned and would have been much more involved and outraged about our involvement, even in the wake of 9/11, of invading Iraq, Afghanistan, the assault on Libya, a host of other issues that were outrageous, where the executive branch has simply been able to exercise its own discretion. Yep. About matters of war and peace, and the American public has been left behind. But we're restoring with a national service, or the draft would be the key, I think, to making things function in a more adequate, balanced way, representative of the interests of the American people.
You would have adults in the U.S. military. We need people who don't need the beret, you know, I love it, uniforms and all that trappings, to have self-esteem. We need adults in the military that are just there to serve their country, and if they see BS, they say BS. They have no career to protect. And we wouldn't have this wheels versus track mess that I've been fighting for the last two decades, right? In fact, another horrific thing is body armor. You know, the Russians, the godless Russians, had rifle bullet defeating body armor in World War II. They just made sure the steel was hard enough. Why didn't we have that? We lost 110,000 infantry in World War II with no body armor when we could have had it. In fact, you go to, well, I'm going to say 476 AD, fall of the Western, you know, Roman Empire, to 2006. The world has been on this vulnerable platform firepower exchange madness of having no projectile body armor. The Roman legions had segmented lorica. They had plates to stop arrows. So there's no excuse to not have body armor that stops the projectiles Mike, in use.
Mike, you make so many great points.
Would have
Listen.
Made sure it happened.
Mike, you make so many great points. I want to announce we're taking calls after the last break. Call in the number 540-352-4452. Mitchell will field your call. Get you on with Mike and me. 540-352-4452. Address any of the issues we've been talking about here today, about the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, about this bizarre event in Waukesha. Which appears to be a deliberate effort to retaliate based upon false beliefs about the fake news media, about their efforts to manipulate the American people, about their absolute departure, making up grounds, whereas even Mitchell has pointed out, they're trying to excuse this guy by claiming he was fleeing a knife attack, which is absurd. Once he was in his SUV, he was immune from any knife attack. It wouldn't justify driving through barriers and at a high speed into a parade route where it was obvious deliberate. So we'll be back with Mike Sparks, and we'll be glad to take your calls. We're standing by. I'll have more to say about JFK. I'll be debunking some stories that are scuttlebutt that are floated around that have no basis about the driver having shot Jack, Jackie having shot Jack, about it being an Israeli op. I'll talk about the true origins of the assassination in 1960 in Los Angeles at the Democratic Presidential Convention. I'll be right back with Mike Sparks, and we'll be taking your calls after this, our final break.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Ah.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, before I bring in Paul, who's standing by, and I'm certain he has a lot to say, I want to deliver on my promises, which will take 5, maybe 6 minutes, as follows. There are a lot who believe the driver, William Greer, shot JFK, but it's easy to disprove that hypothesis or conjecture. Viewing the limousine from behind, Greer was to the left front of Jack. If he had shot JFK, his brains would have been blown out to the right front. But in fact, they were blown out to the left front because he was actually hit in the right temple by Frank Sturgis, firing from the right front intersection of the triple underpass and the picket fence. Others speculate that Jackie shot Jack with a derringer. Well, we know the wounds that Jack incurred. He had that shot to the back, 5.5 inches below the collar, just to the right of the spinal column. He had a shot to the throat, a small, clean puncture wound that passed through the windshield. He had 2 or even 3, David Mandick conjectures, shot to the head, one from behind that hit in the vicinity of the external occipital protuberance, that bump on your head where you dress if you're lying in a bathtub, the shot to the right temple that was fired by Sturgis, and a shot to the left temple, David conjectures, that was fired from the south knoll where there's a single tree. You wouldn't think there was a place for an assassin to be concealed, but I've seen 2 photographs of a gunman there standing with his rifle in the possession of 2 different experts. So we can take for granted there was no wound for Jackie to have inflicted. Plus, Jackie loved Jack. In fact, she held his skull and head together the whole way into Parkland. When she climbs out, by the way, on the back of the limousine, it's after a chunk of Jack's skull and brains, which he holds in her hand all the way to Parkland. After they pry his moribund body out of her arms and she collects herself, she enters trauma room number 1, turns to the anesthesiologist, Pepper Jenkins, and extends her hand asking, "Will this help?" By far the most poignant moment in the history of the assassination. As far as those who believe Israel was responsible, well, Israel was one of the multiple sponsors, 8 shooters from 8 different sources. 1 appears to have been Israeli. Now, the way we know, in fact, Israel wasn't responsible is that the origin of the assassination was in Los Angeles in 1960 at the Democratic Presidential Convention, where JFK beat LBJ for the nomination. He invited Stuart Symington of Missouri to be his running mate, but gave him overnight to think about it. Meanwhile, Bobby went to the Johnson suite to extend a pro forma offer to the powerful majority leader never imagining that he'd have the least interest. Instead, Johnson leaped on it, threatened to expose the Jack at Addison's disease, wasn't expected to live a long, healthy life. That among his dalliances had been one with a beautiful woman who was a spy for East Germany, which he'd learned from J. Edgar Hoover, and moreover added that if he were not on the ticket, then any legislative proposals from the White House would be dead on arrival, because as a powerful majority leader of the Senate, he blocked them up. So Jack and Bobby find themselves backed in, had to accede to Johnson's demands. When one of his rich backers learned of this, he burst into Johnson's suite cursing and swearing because now LBJ would help JFK become president. Bobby Baker took him into a bedroom and explained what they had in mind. He came out all smiles and said he thought that was an excellent plan. Bobby Baker would later declare in public that Jack would not live out his first term and that he would die a violent death. Lyndon Johnson would, in the course of events, send his chief administrative assistant, Cliff Carter, down to Dallas to make sure all the arrangements were in place for the assassination. Now, it's true, of course, that Jack was at loggerheads with David Ben-Gurion, a founder and first prime minister of Israel, over the Israelis' desire to develop nuclear weapons, which Jack opposed on the ground it would initiate a nuclear arms race in the Middle East, which he regarded as highly undesirable. Ben-Gurion appears to have resigned his office in disgust and directed the Mossad to participate in the assassination. But that was long after the plot had already been hatched by Lyndon Johnson, who would bring in the Secret Service, the CIA, the Joint Chiefs, and the mob to assist in carrying it out. I lay it out in the piece on JFK Special, The Real Deal, you can find on my blog. That said, and having delivered on my promise, I want to invite Paul now to give us, share his thoughts about any and all of the above. Paul.
All right, I just took it off of mute. So that was a very interesting first hour. I'll give you fair warning. I'm got a big cup of coffee and two entire bear claws in me, so I'm all jacked up on caffeine and sugar.
I like bear claws and coffee myself. So go for it, Paul. Go for it.
So I liked a lot of the things that your guest said. Among them, of course, that all these rioters should be shot. In my opinion, it's pretty what you would call a prima facie evidence that they want these things to occur because they do nothing to stop it. And none of these things would ever get off the ground if they just were, for example, call out to the general public. If they can't handle it themselves, right, they could just say, hey, citizens, help us. Help defend, the downtown. Help defend businesses. And I guarantee you that these riots would barely get off the ground. And as long as these people that are currently in power remain in power and control our money and control the media, things are only going to get worse or stay the same. I do take a big issue with this notion of that, we're immoral and there's a lot of people that are immoral and that's one of the reasons this has happened. It's kind of like, the saying that people get the representatives they deserve. I've always thought this is mostly nonsense. We are basically victims. The bottom line is this, is you can talk all you want about politics in elections, but if the system is rigged, and it is certainly rigged in any process of logical deduction, you can come to that conclusion, then it doesn't really matter what we think and what we do. The vast majority of people are indeed moral in their daily life. And this is borne out by the fact that, the percentage of crime and the percentage of criminals in general is extremely low compared to the general population. But you can't really have a discussion about our society and forms of government without talking about the Jews. It doesn't have anything to do with we're immoral or the number of percentage of the population that's psychopaths. We have in control of us, ruling over us, an extremely determined and implacable goal-oriented enemy. And you can make the case that, that they are sociopaths or they are psychopaths, but it doesn't really matter if the average person walking around in whatever profession they hold is a psychopath or a sociopath, because most of these people do not commit crimes. There's a lot of people that have sociopathic or psychopathic tendencies based upon a definition, but that doesn't mean that they're criminals. So let's just take a quick look, and I'm almost done with this little rant. You can respond. But this idea that there's a, shall we say, a form of government that is best suited, you know, for us without considering race is completely false, in my opinion. The fact of the matter is, if you take blacks and mestizos, most people refer to these as Hispanics, but if you take blacks and mestizos out of the equation, the actual amount of crime would be very, very low. The fact of the matter is across the spectrum of crime, this is Department of Justice statistics for lots of decades, blacks have a criminal rate of 9 to 10 times that of whites. 9 to 10 times, that's 900 to 1,000%. And the average mestizo crime rate is 4 to 5 times that of white. And in certain categories, it's even greater. So, for example, rape, right? So all these things, you know, if you take a look at it on the whole, the best type of government that we could possibly have to correct this situation is a national socialist and a racial nationalist government. Nothing else is going to work. So the fact of the matter is we don't need so much separation of powers as we need, at least temporarily, till we can come up with a plan for integration, we need separation of the races. And we can't have Jews in our country, period, end of story. I think the experiment is over. And what our founding fathers warned us about, among them Ben Franklin, among them John Adams, and many others who wrote, who foresaw the future, I think Ben Franklin said more or less that our grandchildren will wake up and curse us. So there you go.
Well, let me pick up on one aspect of what you're saying. At the very first political speech I ever gave, which was at a Ron Paul Freedom rally on Tax Day in 2008, on the grass outside the Capitol, I gave a presentation where I explained that dual citizens should never be put in policy shaping or decision making positions in the American government, because you cannot know that their loyalty to the other state does not outweigh their loyalty to the United States. The role of AIPAC in controlling our Congress is overwhelming, where Cynthia McKinney revealed the pledge, where every new member of Congress is asked to sign a pledge to put the interests of Israel ahead of that of the United States, and where the overwhelming majority of members of our Congress have taken the pledge. So I think there's a great deal to what you're saying, Paul. Whether we ought to have the solution you propose is a whole nother question. I'm going to invite Mike now to offer his remarks, his response to your comments. Mike.
Yeah, no Jews. Blaming a whole group of people, ethnic group, is not the problem. Be a man and say Rothschild Illuminati. That's the crime group, 11 million with you, the Rockefellers, that are doing the evil. Don't be blaming some obnoxious, high IQ, self-loathing Barbara Streisand for what's wrong with the country. It's the Illuminati. You can go to my BitChute channel, and there's all kinds of documents showing that this is a crime group that's multi-ethnic. The Rothschilds aren't even damn Jewish. They're Bowers, and they're German. So no one the Jew hates blaming the Jews. And two, this ethnicity thing, it's culture. Black culture is corrupt. They are hedonistic, nihilistic culture. That's what makes them bad, not because of their skin and their physiological makeup. No. You know, you just want to blame people. And you want to blame you're just a hater. You just want to blame somebody, and you're not man enough to blame these specific individuals, which I can show you by name, that need to be arrested. You don't want to do that. You want to blame a vague group.
Mike, I don't want to listen. Black families overwhelmingly are conservative, conventional. They espouse values and attitudes typical of whites in South Pasadena when I was growing up there in the 1950s. I mean, you're just wrong about blacks. There's an element, and Paul's impeccably right about the statistics.
No.
Crime.
I sent you the CIA report, Jim. I sent you the CIA report where they're deliberately perverting the music. To promote nihilism and
Mike, hold on,
you don't want to attack the criminals. You want to just attack the ether, some vague ally group. Real courageous.
Mike, this is embarrassing. I'm going to have to mute you. I'm going to have to mute you.
No, he's a hater. He's an anti-Semite Jew, anti-Jew hater.
Listen. Mitchell, mute Mike. This is just ridiculous.
His name is
beyond belief. You can't mute Mike. Mike, I don't want to have to take you off the air. I don't want to have to disconnect. You just calm down. Let me make a few points in Paul, too. Paul's absolutely right about the crime statistics. I've reviewed this. The overwhelming majority of crimes are committed by blacks in the United States. Latinos are the second most group so disposed. Asians commit.
I'm not arguing against that.
Mike.
I'm adding a thought. I am not arguing against that. I said it's caused by culture, not the physiological makeup.
Mike, I don't know what to say. You have no manners here. You have no sense of deference. You don't understand. This isn't your show. This is for the audience.
I know it's not the show. I'm trying to agree with you.
Okay, I'm going to drop you.
On a point.
Drop Mike. Drop Mike. Just take him off. Take him off, Mitchell. Take him off. Paul, now listen, I think you've made a lot of very good points that Mike's got carried away here. And he does that. He can become very strident, and he will not allow an exchange to take place. Now, you and I have had our differences on occasion, even over this very same point, but I want to give you an opportunity to further elaborate on your take, because I think the Constitution is just fine. I do think it's a matter of enforcement that we've got corrupt governments and judiciary who are not following the law, and that's the primary source of the problem. Now, I know you believe there's more to it, so I want to come back to you to give you the opportunity to expand, please.
Wow. Thank you. On December 6th, you're going to get a birthday card and a present from me. I got to say, that was nice of you, that somebody else got run off the call besides myself.
Well, it's embarrassing when he's my featured guest, Paul, but he earned it. He earned it. I'm just taken aback. Go ahead, Paul. Lay it on.
Here's the thing. What occurs is so typical of these people that have not thought things out, who haven't really immersed themselves in the data, if you will. And you can't come to any other conclusions except what lies directly in front of you. What does the evidence suggest? And the idea that, oh, it's culture, it's ridiculous. Culture is a concept. People produce culture, okay? Individuals and races produce culture. Culture is not just some thing that somehow just arises out of a group of people. Oh, this is the type of music we like. This is the type of art we like. This is the type of cooking, whatever. It's produced by a race of people. So when you look around the world and you see the sort of societies that people build and that races build and construct, then there's your evidence. Leave alone, it doesn't even address the anatomical differences. Everybody knows who's looked into it, it's not just skin color. This is the big lie of the left.
Oh, sure.
That it's just skin color. There are differences between the races.
You know, so Paul, anyway, I published a book on the evolution of intelligence, which includes a discussion of racial differences in IQ that are genetically based. This is part of the false premise that Democrats are promoting. They think all races are equal in talent, ability, intelligence. It's just not true. The average IQ by most standards for whites is 100. For Asians, it's about 110. For Jews, interestingly, as much as 118. But for blacks, it's around 80. So there are these clear differences. There are reasons why different racial groups should excel in different areas. The blacks, just look at the NFL or the NBA, are clearly athletically superior to whites. Just look at the proportion. But they're also, in terms of ability to deal with life in a sophisticated environment, grossly unable, represented by the crime rate, their inability to master elements of education and the like, which are a function of the fact they have less apparatus to deal with. This is a function of evolution. This isn't just a sociological phenomenon because of differences in socioeconomic status, though it turns out to be a correlation because those who are less able in a competitive society do less well and have fewer resources. But in terms of those differences, the Democrats want to assume everyone should be doing equally well, and that's their notion of equity. So if blacks aren't doing equally well, then it must be because there's systemic racism in our society, which is just total bullshit. American society, in my judgment, is the most race-free ever realized on the face of Earth for a large heterogeneous population. Nobody basically cares about anyone's race. We idolize and admire people who are black or white or purple, regardless, because of their attainments. My God, look at how many of our political leaders are black. We even elected a man who is black president in the United States not once but twice. Most of our celebrities are blacks. Our entertainers are blacks. The advertising on television is black predominantly.
So, Paul, I think we agree
on a lot of this, and I do want you to have the opportunity to add more. Go for it.
Okay, but a lot of those things are true. Some of them are partially true. I won't take issue with them, but I'm just going to say, but we do have some racial issues in this country. There's no doubt about it, okay? And black people know it. I've known many black people. They can't stand, as you know, these ghetto thug niggers that are making life miserable for both blacks and whites. It's got to be dealt with in some manner, shape, or form. And the people that are running our country, and you know who they are, okay, these are the same people that are promoting this violent rap culture. A lot of these musical forms break my heart. When you go back and you listen to the music from the 60s and the 70s and the 80s that these black groups are putting out, it was beautiful. I mean, you could hear the words. That was about something. The music was fine. Now it's ugly and dark and satanic, and it's on purpose. So it's not black culture, okay? It's a Jewish agenda that's using culture and using race. And there is indeed some racism going on in society right now. And as you know, Jim, it's anti-white. So the reason that these people are using blacks and browns and flooding Europe and America with them is they know it's going to cause a problem. And there's nothing wrong wanting to have a homogenous, high-trust society. People love to call other people names, but this is exactly what the Jews want and what they've promoted. They want us. They want other whites to be against us. They want other races to be against us. And anytime you would advocate for your own interests as a society, in other words, I'm a part of a whole. I'm not just some individual out here bouncing around. This is why I always reject the whole idea about libertarianism and all this other stuff, because this, again, was something else that was promoted by these people to break us down, to say, oh, we're just individuals. No, we're part of a group. We're part of a whole.
Paul, listen, I think there's a lot of evidence to substantiate the points you're making, and the fact that the Democrats are promoting identity politics, emphasizing racial differences and gender differences and a lot of other nonsense. The open borders policy, it's clearly the Kalergi plan applied to the Western Hemisphere to destroy American culture, just as it's been employed against Western Europe by the importation of millions of black Africans to destroy Western civilization there. There's a massive anti-white agenda. I agree completely. Now, Paul, I know your use of the N-word, which someone might cite, but you meant it in context as a way in which, you know, blacks refer to one another using the N-word all the time. And you meant it because there's a certain segment of population, subpopulation of the black population that is very completely unethical, uses all kinds of criminal means to advance their cause and a host of other issues. I agree with that, Paul. Let me take the opportunity here. Since this, Paul, I've got to return to JFK by way of closing. But if you want to take one minute to add a further thought, you got it.
Okay, Art, thank you for that. So, yeah, the other thing I would add quickly is that what a lot of people don't understand, and you probably do, Jim, but it's well known that young black males have much greater levels of testosterone than other races, as well as they mature earlier and have much greater muscle. And so they use this physical force against others, because it's basically the main or the only thing they got. This is why the propensity for violence is so much greater is because of the higher hormonal levels and their physical capabilities. So this is something that, you know, what I would call more gentle white and Asian school children should not be forced to go to, say, elementary, junior high, and high school with a lot of these people, because it's just not, this is not fair, and it's emotionally damaging to put them in an environment. Quickly, just a couple more sentences. What Mike said, of course, is beyond insulting about I should be man enough to name the Rothschilds or the Illuminati, like I wouldn't know about that. And the, also the idea that he just tried to articulate the not all argument. Not all Jews, not all blacks, not all hornets will sting you. It's a simplistic, childish argument, Mike.
Paul,
if you're listening, get
Paul.
Argument, which I've heard for
thank
decades.
You, Paul. Paul, don't overstay your welcome. You've been very good. I want to close by talking about JFK. When Jackie Kennedy was deposed by the Warren Commission, she explained how she had Jack's head in her lap and that from the front, he looked just fine. But she had a terrible time holding his skull and brains together at the back. The Warren Commission excluded that from their official report on grounds of privacy, but actually it was because it blows apart the official allegation of only three shots fired from behind. I want to mention three books that might make excellent Christmas presents for friends, neighbors, and relatives. One is by Phil Nelson. It's a brilliant book entitled LBJ, Mastermind of JFK's Assassination. Anyone who has any doubt about Lyndon's role in all of this, you cannot read the first few chapters alone already and not realize how he was absolutely ruthless. He would brook no opposition. He even used Mac Wallace, his personal hitman, to kill at least a dozen people over and beyond his participation in the assassination, including one of his own sisters. That's the first book I recommend. The second, Larry Rivera has done the most brilliant work confirming that Lee Oswald was in the doorway of the motor of the book depository when the JFK motorcade passed by. That not only means that he cannot have been the lone demented gunman, he cannot have been one of the shooters, of whom we have eight, where I've identified six, and then Ole Domegaard a seventh, with which I agree. We have only one yet to be identified. Check out my presentation. And last of all, I have my fourth book, JFK, Who, How, and Why. It's still available at Amazon.com and also at MoonRockBooks.com. Just think about JFK. He meant so much to the country and for such good reason. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I've pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
Thank you. This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in combat.